Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and my dad is out of the office today, so we're going to be hearing a recorded message from our pediatrician in residence, Dr. Meg Meeker, who is also a part of our broadcast team, and here with me today. And the topic at hand, Dr. Meeker, is a heated one for sure, so let's dive right into it.
It is a heated problem, Ryan, in our schools all across the country. That's why I decided to sit down with three guests while I was in Michigan to gain some more perspective and insight into how to stop this growing epidemic.
Well, I don't want to give away what you're going to be discussing because we'll hear more about it in just a moment. So let's jump right in now as we hear from Dr. Meg Meeker with her guests here on this Family Talk broadcast.
We have a wonderful show today, so you cannot turn that dial. We're going to be talking about a very important subject here. We're going to be talking about bullying. But we're not going to be talking about just the problem of bullying. We're going to be talking about a solution that one high school counselor in Traverse City, Michigan found, and it's working. So if you are a parent or a student or a principal or a high school counselor, you cannot miss this show. In studio, I have three wonderful guests. I have Robin Flannery, who is a single mom to three great kids. Most importantly, mom to Jeremy, who's in studio with us too. Robin is a single mom who very sadly was widowed 7 years ago and is currently raising her kids 17, 14, and 12. I have to the other side of me, Jeremy Flannery, who is 17 years old. He's a junior at St. Francis High School and a very articulate young man. And he's going to be talking to us today about what it feels like to go through grade school and junior high and high school being bullied. And my final guest is Mrs. Beth Mayday, who is a high school counselor here at Traverse City, Michigan. And she came up with a very creative and successful solution to bullying in her school. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming. Robin, let's start with you. 7 years ago, your life took a dramatic turn. Can you tell us about what happened in your life 7 years ago?
Yes, I can. Actually, a little bit before that, we'll go 8 years ago.
Sure.
I was homeschooling my three children and just moved into a home that we had built. And my husband was diagnosed with cancer. Very short-lived, very sudden. He was diagnosed in January and less than 9 months later, he passed away.
And how old were your children at that time?
He died 2 days before Jeremy's 10th birthday, and the girls were 7 and 5 at the time.
Wow. And Jeremy is the oldest of the three children. You're the only son.
Yes.
And you have two younger sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
So do you remember that time pretty clearly?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember my mom coming into the bedroom I was sleeping in, and it was sort of sudden. I'm like, oh, is it time for school already, I think? And so I knew something was up because she had brought AJ and Shay in because they were in my parents' bedroom, and then a little while later we found out that he had passed.
Mm. And I would like to tell our listeners, they can't see in studio, but you have a very special jacket with you here, don't you? What,
yes.
What is the jacket draped over your chair?
My dad's flight jacket.
Mm.
My dad was a Navy helicopter pilot, and so I wear the jacket to school and elsewhere.
It's fabulous. Robin, after Aaron passed, life got harder for you. Life got harder not just as a single mom, but now you're a grieving widow and you have three grieving children. And school was pretty tough, particularly for Jeremy. Can you tell us what the following years were like for Jeremy in school and for you as a mom watching him go through school?
Yes, I can. The term heartbreaking comes to mind, and I will try to get through this without
it's okay.
Without tears.
Just
but
us.
Yeah, it's just us. When Jeremy went back to school, kids laid off of him. His dad had just died, so they were pretty good with him at that point. But it didn't take long for it to resume. So in fifth grade, kids just started getting nasty again. And so not only were they verbally attacking him, it went from verbal to physical.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, there was a lot more attention in the media about bullying, and we had a new principal who, for lack of a better term, thought she cornered the market on how to handle the bullying issue.
Mm-hmm.
So here they're
focusing
on bullying, but what it looks like. What does a bully look like? What does the victim look like? But then there were no consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And so the victim is told to report it, which okay, that's great. They report it. They become the tattletale. They right. become a bigger victim. There's still no consequences. So as it escalated, as his mom, I kept going in. Jeremy went in. Nothing was done. Mm-hmm. And to the point where it got physical, I told Jeremy he had permission to defend himself. I mm-hmm. said, you can't start a fight, but if somebody's picking on you, you do have a right to defend yourself. So I gave him permission to at least push kids down and then go get the help he needed. Mm-hmm. And when I went into the school and informed them of that, I was told he was not allowed to do that. Mm. And that that the kids that were bullying him were troubled and that there was nothing they could do about it.
Oh. And Jeremy, this is fifth and sixth grade. Do you remember being bullied in the fifth and sixth grade? Do you remember what life was like at school?
Yeah, some new kids were coming in to the school mm-hmm. in fifth grade, and they were pretty mean, and some people that were my friends started bullying as well.
So you would have friends, a bully would come along, start picking on you, and then your friends would jump on board with a bully.
Yes.
And I think that happens pretty frequently, don't you?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there ever a time when you did push somebody back and say, hey, leave me alone?
Yes, a few times. I don't remember yep. much of it, but I do remember I did defend myself, which was after my mom said, okay, if you're being attacked physically, you have a right to defend yourself. So. Yeah.
Now, Robin, the bullying went on year after year, and this must have been heartbreaking as a mom. You've lost your husband. You're raising your children. Your only son, who dearly loved his dad, doesn't have his dad anymore, and now school is not a safe place to be. Take us into high school, because things really came to a head sophomore year, didn't they?
Yes, they did. By eighth grade, we found a new school system, transitioned them in, and it worked well for about half a year. So we get through middle school. He goes up to the high school, and Jeremy, bless his heart, didn't necessarily open up with me about everything that was going on. Because I am a single parent and carrying the load for three kids, he didn't want to worry me anymore.
That's the kind of guy Jeremy is. I mean, he's extraordinary. Jeremy, you told me at one point you had a lunch experience. You went into
yes.
the lunchroom. What
sophomore.
Tell us about that. What happened?
Yeah, during the latter part of sophomore year, I was part of the robotics team, and so this was the one time that most of the team had lunch the same time I did, because it's based on your third-hour teacher. And so I decided, oh, finally a group of kids for me to sit with. But every time I'd be at the checkout for my food, I'd see somebody move my stuff from the chair that I had it at mm-hmm. and move it to a different table. And then one day I finally confronted him and said, sorry, Jeremy, there's no more chairs. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of open tables where you could easily have grabbed a chair and asked people to slide a little bit to fit them. Mm-hmm. And no one would say anything until lunch was about over. A kid said, sorry that he's being mean and stuff, but wouldn't stand up when it was occurring.
Jeremy, we all know what it feels like to have people be mean and to feel really crummy about life. What is it like when you're in a lunchroom and somebody moves your stuff to another table? What does that make you feel like?
Like I'm trash, like the unwanted piece of the banana.
Yeah, like so, you're trash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So would you ever go to any other students, friends at school? Did you have any close friends you could go to and say, you know, people are just so mean to me, I can't take this anymore?
There was some people that I thought were friends, but everything that was going on in the lunchroom made me realize they weren't really my friends because they...
So nobody. You
yeah.
had nobody at school.
Yeah.
Robin, this just must have been heartbreaking for you.
Completely.
And I want to say, things came to a head this past spring. Jeremy didn't want to go to school. He wanted to be homeschooled for his junior year in high school. How sad is that? So this summer, you said something needs to happen. Tell us what life was like this past summer between his sophomore and junior year in high school.
We did a family reunion, and Jeremy has a lot of cousins his age. I saw a kid coming alive with a peer group that I hadn't seen before. Mm. And after we left that reunion, he literally was begging me to consider moving closer to family, mm. which wasn't that easy to do. And at that point, even though I have three children, I had to look at Jeremy, not only being the oldest, but the one who was in the most critical need. Mm-hmm. I was at that point that I was about to do anything that I needed to do.
Move him across country.
Move him across country. I called my sister one day and I said, we're coming in a couple of days. We need to come check this out. And mm-hmm. Jeremy wanted to go. His cousins went to a school in Connecticut. We arrived and it was pretty clear that that wasn't our answer. Jeremy agreed once we got there. We all agreed as a family that that just probably wasn't the best decision. And that was the heartbreak, is when I started talking to him before we made the trip to Connecticut, I asked him if he was looking forward to school, and he said yes and no. And when I asked why the no, he said, it's hard to go to a school where everybody hates you.
Mm.
And literally, as a mom, you know, we're all moms here, you know the heartbreak to hear your child say that. So now we're returning, and we're looking for answers. And I started just telling him, look at it as a job, that you're punching a time clock and you only have two more years.
Mm.
Which would have given him the tools, but how sad. You're in high school, it's supposed to be the prime, and this was the worst part of his life, was going to school. Mm-hmm. And how do you get him through that? Mm-hmm. And I work with somebody who suggested St. Francis High School here in Traverse, which, don't know why, that just never crossed my radar before. You think you're on your path doing a certain
because
thing.
Because God loves secrets.
He does. Yeah. He does. Yeah.
He says, come and pray and I will show you great secrets.
Oh, and did he ever.
He did.
Oh, yeah. He did. Yeah. He did. And I will sing the praises of Beth and the staff and the students of this school, because, you know, the whole bullying issue, the way it's addressed is, you're not going to stop a bully just with consequences. If somebody wants to bully, they're going to do it.
And you're not going to stop a bully just by explaining what it is and giving them a choice.
The only way you are going to stop bullying is to have their peer group step up and say, put the power in those other kids.
Yeah. Beth Mayday.
Yeah.
You are the school counselor at St. Francis High School. What did you think when Robin Flannery marched into the halls of St. Francis and said, okay, enough's enough for my child. I need a new place to be. Tell us what that was like for you.
Well, it was a interesting conversation because Robin comes in and is very emotional and anxious. Is this going to work? And she just put her heart out there. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm just scared for my son. But who really blew me away was Jeremy. Sorry, Robin. Jeremy.
It's okay.
So, and I tend to be kid focused. So I meet Jeremy and I instantly thought, what a stinking cool kid. Yeah. I like this kid. And I think Jeremy can make us a better school. And so, you know, my heart went out to both of them. And, you know, and I suggested they go home and pray about it and see if St. Francis High School is where they need to be. And then Robin called and said, yes, I think St. Francis is where we want to send Jeremy.
And at that point, did you believe there was something that you could do? I mean, because you'd seen bullying before.
Yeah.
So what was your approach? What did you do?
Well, you know, first of all, Dr. Mika, you know, we are a faith-filled school.
Yes.
And so from kindergarten to grade 12, we're encouraging, fostering, teaching that relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we all know when you have a heart for Jesus Christ, compassion does come easier.
Yes.
Service is more frequent.
Yes.
So we know it's in our kids. It's in every child.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked Robin to bring Jeremy a day later.
Great.
And I went, got a schedule, and I went to each of his classes. And I started with scripture. I started with Matthew 25, 35, and 36. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I let that set a little bit for my students.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of talked about Jeremy a little bit, and I said, we're getting this great kid who has had it really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been picked upon, and school has not been enjoyable for him. And we talked a little bit, and I asked the kids, I said, when does bullying happen? Does it happen in front of a teacher? Collectively, the classes would say, no way, no way. It's done in private. It's done in the bathroom. It's done in the cafeteria. It's done in the locker rooms. It's done in the hallways. So the adults aren't going to be around. And sometimes I think everyone looks at the teachers and say, fix it, fix it, fix it.
Right.
The teachers aren't the ones seeing it.
Exactly.
And so I asked the kids, I said, well, who's going to fix the problem? And the students collectively in each class, I went to seven different classes, said, well, we have to.
Mm,
they're right.
They're
the ones that have to do it.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, we're going to get him tomorrow. He's coming to our school tomorrow. Who in this class is going to make sure that this is a good experience for Jeremy? And within 2 minutes, The entire class had their hands raised. They just committed to, you know, he's one of us. We're going to watch out for him. Mm-hmm. But what I did see was that when there was a class of 20 kids raising their hands, that gave them power and courage to know they're holding each other accountable. Mm-hmm. But it gave them courage to say, yes, we're going to do this.
Teenagers love a good challenge, don't they? And we sell them so short. And unfortunately, I think one of the reasons that we have not gotten control of bullying is we give all the bullies all the power.
I agree.
And we say to kids individually, a student may not stand up. But when you say, will you and will you, they become a force.
Absolutely.
And you give a teenager a cause and they're all about it. And I think you also gave them power. Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't say, okay, you can go beat somebody up, but you came very close.
Right. I do like defending those that maybe can't defend themselves.
Exactly.
And I do think that's what Jesus would want us to do. Yes. I do think he'd say, you know, don't mess with my little sheep. Yep. Don't mess with my children. And that's what I was asking my students to do, to have that heart of compassion and empower them to welcome him. And I believe they have, right, Jeremy?
Yes.
Yeah. Robin, you told me a story, and we just need to share this with our listeners. After Jeremy lost his dad, you were very worried about him not being able to experience the moments in life that sons usually get to experience with their dad, some key things like, you know, how to shave, how to ask a girl out, how to tie a tie.
The necktie.
Mm-hmm. Will you tell the necktie story?
Yes, the necktie story. And this is huge. Neckties will always be a visual for me. I'll back it up. In eighth grade, and I will probably get teary here because it always makes me cry. Mm-hmm. Jeremy was part of the band and had to do a concert. Mm-hmm. And although I had asked a few people for help on teaching Jeremy how to tie a necktie, we didn't have any takers. Mm-hmm. And so I had to go and buy him a necktie, which I was dreading. And I went to Kohl's and had to buy him a clip tie. Mm-hmm. And I remember standing in the store crying because it wasn't about the tie. It was not having a dad to teach him. And I actually had a couple people say, look it up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't about learning it. It was the emotional impact. And I remember Jeremy looking at me going, it's okay, Mom.
Yeah.
But I knew it wasn't. Yeah. I knew he was already a target.
Yeah.
And kids can be mean even when it comes to a necktie. Mm-hmm. So let's fast forward to St. Francis. And Jeremy's now part of the football team. And he comes out and tells me I'm part of the team and I have to wear a uniform. And I'm thinking, what is the uniform?
Yeah.
It's a necktie. Mm-hmm. But there was something different about it this time. I knew. You know, I've had the whole administration at St. Francis come up to me and ask me about Jeremy. I've had the principal come up and say, your son will be taken care of. And I felt that. So he went and asked Mr. Chittle if he would help him with a necktie.
Not a clip-on. You bought him a real tie.
So once I knew that he had somebody who was going to help him, I could go out and buy the tie. And then I ended up coming home with four because they were all pretty cool.
Three.
Oh, sorry.
And Jeremy, I really like that purple tie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good purple tie.
Yeah. So I did pretty good.
You did.
I did good. So he went into the school, and not only did he have the principal helping him, he had one of his teachers come up to help him. Mm. So he's walking out proudly with that necktie on. And what that did for me as a mom, it's invaluable. When people want to know how they can impact lives, it's as simple as the necktie.
Yeah.
And at this point, knowing that we've got help, knowing that people genuinely care, we decided to take on the YouTube video. Yeah. So we were side by side trying to figure out how to tie a tie. Jeremy can tie his own tie now.
Yeah. Cool. You know, I think that what's so cool about the story, well, there's many things that are just so remarkable about the story, is God's provision. You know, God is the Father, and God wanted Jeremy to know how to tie a necktie when his dad couldn't be here, because your dad's up in heaven with God, isn't he?
Yep.
But that you had support on so many different levels. Beth, what have you seen around school? Have you seen any changes in the junior class at St. Francis?
I think collectively we are a better school because Jeremy's there. I think it opens our eyes. You know, we all get comfortable in our routines and our cliques and our groups, and it opened our eyes to be uncomfortable with bullying, to be uncomfortable when somebody is picked on, neglected, demeaned. But it's always a lesson that we need to keep hearing. Mm-hmm. It's something we need to keep practicing.
You know, and I wanted to point out, too, you know, Jeremy's the tip of the iceberg. You know, Jeremy is the representation of tens, if not hundreds of thousands of students across the country who are experiencing anything from being shoved and pushed and physically abused at school to a lot of verbal abuse, which, as Robin said, can be even more devastating because every day they're hammered and they feel as though they're nothing and they're alone and they don't have a friend. Beth, I want you to talk to the high school teachers out there. I want you to talk to the principals, the school counselors. What do they need to do to get bullying under control in their schools?
Well, first of all, it's a benefit when you know your students.
Yes.
So getting to know your students well, so they do feel comfortable to talk with you, so you can find a mentor or a peer or help them get into a peer group. But we do have to empower the quiet kids,
yes.
Empower the small kids, the large kids, the noisy kids, the shy kids, to say everyone is important and everybody has value and everybody has worth. And we're not going to put up with somebody being mean. Mm-hmm. Typically, a bully is one or two kids.
Exactly.
It's not a school. It's one or two kids.
You know, that's the thing. One of the dangers that we're in right now is that we focus on the bully. We talk about the bully, as Robin said, and we go, oh, well, what can we do? They're having a hard life. Well, too bad. It's not an excuse to go and be mean to other kids. So why is it that the nice kids don't stand up for other kids?
It's hard. It's hard if you're by yourself. It's mm-hmm. hard if you're alone and to have the courage to do that. And so if the numbers are there and the group is there, they hold each other accountable. Mm-hmm. Our kids made a commitment. No, he's a member of our St. Francis family. We are happy he's here. We're going to make sure he's happy he's here. And collectively, as a group, they said, we will not let this happen. So they also hold each other accountable, too, to make sure he's safe.
Yeah. And so you're really using positive peer pressure.
Absolutely. You see heart changes.
Heart changes.
And that's what's cool. So that's when I say he makes us better. It's because he has opened our hearts and our eyes mm-hmm. To other kids who may be hurting, and just to be aware of our own actions. Are these actions hurtful or helpful? Are they loving or are they cruel? And so it's an eye-opener for everybody. So it's a blessing that he's there.
Jeremy, if there are any kids out there listening who are experienced being bullied at school, you know, 8th grade, 7th grade, freshman, what would you want to tell them?
You'll always have somebody to tell them, even if you're in my situation where your dad dies and you can't go to him and you don't want to worry your mom. Go to her anyway.
And Robin, what would you want to say to the mothers out there who are struggling and worrying about their sons or daughters being bullied?
Don't back down.
Don't back down.
You know, what Beth and the whole administration and the whole school has done doesn't just have to happen in a Catholic school
yeah.
or a faith-based school. It can happen anywhere. You have to be that advocate mm-hmm. for your child, because ultimately, who else is going to do it?
Yeah.
And if you are that voice for them, it takes the pressure off that child to have to be the voice. Mm. And don't let it go, because your child's welfare
right.
is really at risk.
And the reality is, the majority of kids, the majority of teachers, majority of principals out there, Christian or not, want better for our kids.
Absolutely.
But we have really become wimps. Mm-hmm. And we go, well, what can we do? Nothing we can do. There's a whole lot we can do. And I just really want to thank each and every one of you for being here today.
You're welcome.
You're just fabulous. Beth, kudos to you. And Robin Flannery, thank you so much for being here.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
For having
Thanks.
Us.
Thanks.
Oh, what an uplifting way to end this Family Talk broadcast with guests Robin and Jeremy Flannery and Beth Mayday. I like what Robin had to say, Dr. Meeker. Don't back down.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
to parents, if you've got kids in grade school or high school, even college, who are struggling with bullying, please get in contact with us. I mean, right away. We can get you connected with a counseling referral in your area immediately. Or if you just need someone to pray with or provide you with adequate direction on how to handle that situation, we're here for you.
Yes, that's right. We want to be here for you. And you can find us online at drjamesdobson.org or when you call us at 877-732-6825. Again, that number's 877-732-6825. 1-800-225. While you're online, would you also consider giving financially to the work that we do here? You know, Ryan, your dad hates asking for money.
I know.
But we need money here at Family Talk, and I think that when we fail to ask, people think we don't really need the money. Mm-hmm. But our numbers have been down, and we really need those who believe in the work that your dad and we are doing here at Family Talk, and they love that work. We need them to come alongside of us and help us out financially. So if they could help with $5, $50, $5,000, that would be great.
That's right. And here at the end of the year, we have a matching program going on.
Yes.
Every dollar will be matched, and it doubles your impact. Praying for us is also very important. If you feel led, you can leave a short prayer for us on our Facebook page. You can find a link to that at drjamesdobson.org.
Thanks so much for joining us today for this topic. We hope you'll return next time for an inquisitive discussion on roles in the home and what that looks like. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.